Good morning. Well, I'm glad somebody asked about Advent. Who asked about Advent? You don't need to tell me, because we're going to tell you about what Advent is. Because this is the time that we step into within the church calendar, the time of Advent. And what it is, it's the invitation to focus on and celebrate the first coming of Jesus, the Christ child, as we wait with hopeful, peaceful, loving, joyful anticipation for the second coming of Christ. To help us to appreciate and understand this time of Advent, we look back to the ancient people of God, to the call of Abraham and the growing nature of his family as the start of God's rescue operation to redeem and restore a world in ruins and a human race in chaos. Of course, humanity and creation were not meant to be so fragmented. When God created the world, he created it in love. God saw all that he had made and it was good, and mankind, it was very good. But we know that evil entered into the world. Adam and Eve rebelled against the goodness of God, and because of their choice, their relationship with God and with one another became broken and disjointed, and the world became an entangled mess. But God, he had a plan to redeem and restore back to himself the world that was broken, disjointed, and a mess. And so he called Abraham, he called Moses, and throughout the Old Testament we read and we follow the story of Israel's hope in God, of their hope in his faithfulness to his covenantal love for them, and their hope in his promise of a future. Yet even though the people of God did terrible things, and subsequently terrible things happened to the people of God because of their disobedience, there was a remnant of hope that refused to die throughout the centuries. And ultimately, that hope arrived and was fulfilled in the form of a human baby, Jesus. And with that first advent, that first coming of Christ, it was clear that God's promised rescue plan for humanity and the world had decisively begun. And Jesus came declaring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through his life and his ministry, through his death and resurrection. It became very clear quickly, though, that because of the kind of kingdom that it was, and after Jesus' ascension into heaven, for it to continue to be established and made known, it would need to be continued through the humble, self-giving service of those who follow the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus through us. And hope needs to continue to be in the hearts and lives of believers. Hope needs to be in our hearts and lives until the second advent happens, the time when Jesus will return to finish the work that he had begun, to put all things right, banishing evil and death forever, and bringing heaven and earth completely together. So we celebrate Jesus' first coming and use the lived experience and fulfillment of life that we have in Christ today to strengthen us to work to see his kingdom come and his will be done in our day, and to fuel our hope for his second coming. And so today, as we celebrate Advent, we live between the first and the second Advent. Now, there are four themes to Advent. Who can guess what our first theme is? Ooh. Do you love our hope candle? Yeah. So, you know how you have dreams and ideas, and then you have a wonderful husband who fulfills it. Yeah. So we will have four candles. And they're going to be used as well for the Christmas parade this year, okay? So the theme of the Christmas parade is have a very steely Christmas, because it is the 70th anniversary of the steel mill. Or have a metal Christmas. Have a very metal Christmas. So then we're going to have these four candles. I'm going to get that wrong. Four candles on our float. And of course, and then in the middle, we're going to have the manger scene. So we have that. And then once we've finished with them on the on the Christmas float, then they're going to be outside. We're going to position them outside on the top of the hill. So it's not just for us, but it's for our community. Yeah, every year. He won't have to do something new next year. Okay. So I'm sure we all know, I'm not sure where I am. Oh, yeah, so hope. So I've got a bit excited. So I'm sure we all understand what hope looks like, especially if at this time of year. You hope that we get through to Christmas Day, sane and sensible. We hope that Christmas Day, that the weather is good. It always seems to be on everybody's minds. We hope that we don't eat too much. We hope that everybody behaves themselves, all those kinds of things. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about biblical hope. And biblical hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. And it's a firm assurance that God's promises will come to pass based on the trustworthy character of God and his faithfulness to fulfill every promise. So hope is confident expectation. And it's the firm assurance in God's character that he is faithful to his promises. So, the Hebrew word for hope is yakal and kavan. Yakal is to wait for, which we understand, and kavan is to wait with tension and expectation. So then we ask, well, what were the people of God hoping for, hopeful for? What was it that they were expecting and anticipating? They're waiting for the coming Messiah, the one who would ultimately rescue them from out of the slavery and oppression that they seem to constantly be finding themselves in, and leading them into a victorious life and a future where God will reign over them and over all kingdoms. And many prophets had spoken throughout the ages of the promise of the coming Messiah, of the coming King. And so it was a choice for the people of God to yakul and to kavan, to wait for God, acknowledging the tension of waiting with the expectation of the fulfillment of these promises. Now, biblical hope isn't optimism based on the odds, because let's face it, most often with God, the odds are not looking good. But it was God's past faithfulness that motivated that their hope for the future. And their understanding and expectation of God's faithfulness is found in the story of the Exodus, where God saw his people, where God heard his people. And so God rescued them, and he restored them, and he gave them a future. And it's God's past faithfulness to his word, and in the lives of those who have gone before us down through the ages, as well as to those around us, and most importantly, in our own lives, and that person, that stirs and motivates our hope for our present circumstances and for the future. To have faith in God, which most of us here have, means that we have hope. For faith is being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we do not yet see. So while I ask the question, what was it that the people of God were waiting for? And so I want to ask that question to you. What is it that we're hoping for? What is it that you are hoping for? What promise of God are you waiting to see fulfilled? And what is it that you have confident expectation that God will fulfill in your life? Now, we're going to take a moment to actually consider this. Because to know what it is that you're hoping for helps us to then journey forward, especially throughout this message and then on. So we are going to take a moment. And then you might see, Bex using it as a fan, beside you down there and then in front of, in the pews, there's a piece of card. And there will be a pen as well. And what I'd like you to do is to write down what it is that you are hoping for. I mean, obviously, we are hoping and we're looking forward with anticipation for Christ to come and to redeem us and to redeem us all. You might be hoping for healing. You might be hoping for a sound mind. You might be hoping for salvation for your family. I don't know what it is, but I want you to write it down. See, to look forward with hope, we really do need to remember what God has done before. We need to be able to trust in his perfect character. And as we wait, on the one hand, we absolutely must acknowledge the tension of the now and the not yet of God's kingdom here on earth. Even so, on the other hand, we must learn to wait with confident expectation and a firm assurance that God will fulfill his promises in our lives here and now and in the days to come. Our hope is not in something, it's not wishful thinking. Our hope is in a person, and that person is Jesus, the Son of God. And so we keep our eyes firmly focused on Jesus. And we're reminded by what Paul writes to the church in the Colossae. This is what he says of Jesus. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. This is who we put our hope in. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. This is who our hope is in. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is who our hope is in. For once we were alienated from God and we were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. But now he has reconciled us by Christ's physical body through death to present us holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If we continue in our faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is who our hope is in. It is Jesus. God's love and saving power creatively arrived in the form of Jesus, which was what the world was hoping for. We received exactly who and what we needed, but not quite what, who, or how most were expecting it. Our hope is in the truth and the promises of God in Christ Jesus. And then Luke reminds us of what Jesus read from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he declared that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And again, we say, today this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing. He continues to fulfill these words and other promises down through the generations. We read and hear of amazing stories of God's healing and deliverance, of freedom and restoration, of people living in the darkest places in the darkest of time who put their hope in Jesus, who trust him with everything, with their very lives, people who wait, acknowledging the tension of the waiting under the hardest of circumstances. But still, they hope. And then we all have our own story within the great story of encountering Jesus. Because each one of us here today have experienced and continue to experience the fulfillment of God's word over and within our lives. Because we were living in darkness and confusion, but now we can live in the light and love of Jesus. We were weighed down and blinded by sin, but now we can live in the freedom of his forgiveness. Our lives, while seemingly full of the world, were actually empty. But now we have a living hope and a future. That what which was broken within us is being restored and made whole. And as we wait to see the fulfillment of all of that and more in our own lives, I'm sure that we're completely aware of the tension intermixed with anticipation. Jesus is our hope today and for our tomorrows. And he is our future hope. It is our hope that he will return to restore and redeem all things. And so we hope in his name. We hope in the power of his name. And we place our hope in the faithfulness of his faithfulness to his word and in his unfailing love towards us. Now, the reality is that God will outwork his plans and his purposes. And what we hold in our hands is the how we will wait and who we will trust while we wait. To help with this, it's really good for us to examine our hearts, to see where and with whom our hope lies. Have we put our hope and trust in other people, maybe even in ourselves, in our own understanding, or in systems and organizations who by their nature are unable to keep their promises, who are not faithful or trustworthy in and of themselves? And to ask ourselves honestly, are we doing that maybe so that we can get a quick fix for that sense of feeling of hope which we long for, which we know that we need, but will ultimately only disappoint us in deep ways? And this is why we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is our hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The hope that we have in him is the anchor for our soul. And it is so incredibly firm and secure and necessary for the stormy days we find ourselves in. And the promise has always been for those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Christ has come. Christ is here. And Christ is coming again. And so we come to communion this morning. And as you come up to receive the emblems this morning, I'd ask that you would bring your card with you and place your card into this kete here. And we're going to come up as we have done in the past. We're going to file on up this side first and then the centre and then the side. And as we do, again, I want you to consider what it is that you're hoping for and where you are looking for your hope. Are you looking to Jesus? Let's pray. Almighty God, we hold in our hands these emblems that we are called and we're asked to remember. We remember what Jesus has done for us. We remember the great love that you have for us, that you gave your son, and he willingly gave his life for us, his body broken and his blood poured out, so that we may be forgiven, that we may be redeemed and restored and made whole, living and walking in your light and your love. For these emblems, for the life of Jesus, we say thank you. We are so grateful. And Father, you know our hearts. You know us so personally and so lovingly. And so you know all that's been written on these cards and all the things that have been unwritten, that have not been put down, the things that are deep in our heart. We thank you that you see us, that you know us, that you hear our prayers, you hear our cries. We thank you that you have rescued us and you are rescuing us. We thank you that you have redeemed us and you are redeeming us. And thank you that you have restored us and you will continue to restore us. And that in you we have a hope and a future. This is our hope. This is our faith of being certain of what we hope for, even though we do not yet see it. And we ask for the grace for Yakal and Kavan of waiting. Help us to wait well. Help us to keep our eyes fixed and focused on you, Jesus, the author and the pioneer of our faith, for our good and for your glory, we pray. Amen. Let's eat and drink together. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So begins the first of Advent of Hope next week. It is peace. And we will all need that next week. Okay, so now it is our shared meal, as Chris has said, as you've been reminded. What we're going to do is, for those who have forgotten about the shared meal and would still like to contribute, we're going to give you a few moments to go across the road if that's what you'd like, to bring something to contribute. So we won't start into lunch straight away. We're just going to pause for a bit. And then when Guy says grace, then that will be when that begins. Before that, though, if you would like some prayer about anything in particular, then we would love to stand with you in prayer up after the service. If you would like to come up and take one of these Advent reflections, then we really encourage you to do that. But as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.